Kunstradio, Radiokunst.
Ganz für sich selbst zu sein, gehört vermutlich zu den schwierigsten Aufgaben, die es im Leben zu bewältigen gibt. Zu den schwierigsten und wohl auch zu den wichtigsten Aufgaben. Eben nicht an gestern zu denken und auch nicht an morgen. Nicht daran zu denken, was man gehört, gesehen oder gelesen hat, sich nicht den Kopf der anderen zu zerbrechen und sich auch nicht ständig zu fragen, was denn wohl die anderen über einen denken mögen. Sondern einfach nur für sich selbst zu sein. Wo aber verläuft die Grenze zwischen privat und öffentlich? Zwischen dem, was nur uns ganz persönlich etwas angeht und dem Rest der Welt? Um diese Frage dreht sich das Stück Personal Space von dem australischen Künstler Russell Stapleton, das wir Ihnen in der heutigen Sendung vorstellen möchten. Susanna Niedermayer begrüßt Sie zu einer weiteren Ausgabe des Kunstradios und zu einer weiteren Folge unserer Serie Australian Radio and Sound Art. Australien hat eine der ausgeprägtesten Community-Radio-Szenen der Welt. Viele der Künstler und Künstlerinnen Australiens, die sich heute mit Radiokunst und Soundart beschäftigen, profitierten von der Reform des Telekommunikationsgesetzes Anfang der 70er Jahre unter der australischen Labour-Regierung. Damals wurde der Zugang zu Radiofrequenzen wesentlich erleichtert. Praktisch jeder konnte eine Radiostation gründen und mit dem Medium Radio experimentieren. Ein Recht, von dem reichlich Gebrauch gemacht wurde. Die wichtigste Plattform für Radiokunst und Soundart in Australien ist heute der ABC Listening Room, eine wöchentliche Radiosendung des öffentlich-rechtlichen Rundfunks Australiens. In dieser Redaktion ist auch Russell Stapleton beschäftigt. Neben seiner Arbeit als Tontechniker und Produzent gestaltet Stapleton regelmäßig eigene Arbeiten, für die er in den letzten Jahren bereits zahlreiche Auszeichnungen erhalten hat. Sein Stück Personal Space ist vor dem Hintergrund der weltweiten Reality-TV-Hysterie und der stetig um sich greifenden Aufzeichnungs-, Archivierungs- und Überwachungsmanie entstanden. Russell Stapleton begab sich auf die Suche nach jenem Platz, der von jeglichen äußeren Einflüssen unberührt bleibt. Die Suche nach dem Personal Space entwickelte sich bald zu einer Gratwanderung. Personal Space, please. Personal Space, please. Personal Space, please. Technologischer Fortschritt, so Stapleton, soll uns einander näher bringen. Aber je mehr man ein Bild vergrößert, umso schwieriger sei es, den Inhalt anhand einzelner Pixel zu rekonstruieren. Die Grenzen verschieben sich zwischen öffentlich und privat, zwischen Individuum und Gesellschaft. Wir seien gezwungen, uns aufzuspalten, unser Ich in viele verschiedene Persönlichkeiten zu zerlegen, um auf all die unterschiedlichen Realitäten und Aspekte des Lebens entsprechend reagieren zu können. Mitunter sei der Druck, in der Öffentlichkeit zu bestehen, so groß, dass wir gar nicht anders können, als uns zurückzuziehen. In unsere Häuser und Wohnungen, in unsere Gedanken. Was aber finden wir, wenn wir den Blick nach innen richten? Lösungen für die Probleme dieser Welt oder vielleicht doch nur dunkle Geheimnisse, die besser gar nicht näher berührt werden sollten? Regina, here I
come! This inner space is a balance between alertness and relaxation. It's not that one's hypnotizing oneself or that one's stepping away from reality. I mean, really, one is confronting reality.
That's a space you create for yourself and people come to you rather than you going out looking for them.
It's a universal game, isn't it, of hiding and then coming back. And it appears that they can learn to hide their bodies before they can hide their thoughts.
I worry about the direction in which privacy is headed, and I think it's going to have to do a full circle, otherwise it's going to come back and bite us all on the bum.
Hey guys, look at me.
Sometimes the world feels like it's grinding on me, and I just can't keep up the pace. Resignation on our face. We've got to find a way to live together and create a personal space.
Personal Dream home.
You know I need it.
Well, this is the new home world. It's the latest episode, I suppose, in a long-running suburban serial. When it's finished, it's going to have about 120 homes, I understand. But at the moment, it's a construction site, so we can hear a whole lot of the building going on. And it's kind of interesting that this is the workplace of men rather than women. Now, when they're lived in, when they become homes, then they become the sphere of influence and power and control of women, and men are kind of relegated to the margins of them.
Personal space.
Attention to detail.
You know the answer's right in front of me.
Victor 4 to Victor 2.
Okay,
you got a come to antiques?
You need to have very good intuition, or what we call street smartness.
Let's have a little browse and see if we can spot him.
Yeah, no, I am.
Make it a lot easier.
Detectives are what every man and woman must be when they want to make sense of the street.
You need to be able to assess somebody if you're talking to them very, very quickly.
And what colour jeans?
Mustard colour, sort of, you know, that, yep, brownie yellow.
The one
colour
that concerns me is the person who believes they're very intuitive, but in fact is picking up things quite incorrectly.
Black jumper and blonde
hair. But we have no control over that, and as a Buddhist, I feel that's something that I can't even worry about. I just have to let the world see me the way they think they see me.
I spy with my little eye.
Our society is one not of spectacle but of surveillance.
So they're all your plain clothes people.
Sleazy, two shots of herb before breakfast, yeah. The trench coat, carries a gun, has the long filing fingernails with the feet up on the desk. Industry is not like that.
And it'd be good if we could spot him, because then we'll get the plain clothes guys to follow him.
The circuits of communication are the supports of an accumulation and a centralisation of knowledge.
Knowledge is only knowledge, and if you can't do anything with it, then it's really sort of like gossip.
There is a lot of information out there that we could benefit by and the community could benefit by.
As we have all become more fact-based and more knowledgeable in narrower and narrower areas,
magnifying the detail into an emblem of the whole person.
Knowledge has been cut up into narrower and narrower pieces. You can't do much with it because it's all split up into little tiny slices.
No use us following him in uniform, because even if he is going to do something, you know, like, he won't do it when we're around.
No.
And if the plain clothes guys are there, they'll jump on him straight away.
Secret.
The worst thing you can do is cover up anything or conceal.
There was something hidden within psychic life that had to be discovered.
Once you start sort of playing those games, you know, people actually take more of an interest in you than they would otherwise.
Secrecy became itself a pathology.
We've remained for far too long silent about what we do instead of remaining silent about how we go about it.
We have the opposite idea to some extent, that development of the concept of secrecy is essential to health.
When you can't get into the room, you have to rely on pretty devious means.
For us, it is very important that the individual begins to learn that they have their own world that other people can't contaminate, damage, intrude upon.
Let's get behind the doors.
We can drill a tiny hole from an adjoining room.
I can give you an example of a patient who made a most spectacular recovery. She arrived nearly dead from being really overwhelmed by thoughts that were really destructive to her being. These thoughts meant that she couldn't eat. She had to punish herself if they were felt to be bad thoughts, and she damaged her body.
Wow, someone's here.
after about 6 weeks, there was a morning where she suddenly seemed a lot better.
Thank you.
And the therapist said to her, "You just seem better today," and wondered why that could be. And she said, "My mother came today, but I didn't tell her everything."
Personal space, space, space.
Dream space.
Everybody needs it.
There's something very strange about them. There's something unreal about them because they're not occupied, they're not lived in, they're not real houses, they're only dream spaces. People walk in and they overlay, they kind of write their own stories onto the spaces. But there's also something strange and eerie about the kind of unoccupied intensity of the places, of the space within them, which I would call melancholic. And in this sense, it's like any kind of fairground or theme park after the show is over.
I ask you to respect my children's space.
You should be allowed to have a private.
I saw a large blue Mercedes, darker blue, and the airbag on the passenger side was deployed.
No, this is the end of the legend of man and the destruction of magic.
Watch this.
And become gossip-hungry scandal ships.
I don't want people to know exactly where I've been.
Stalked by those with the sharpest of tabloid teeth, the notorious paparazzi.
You've caught anything on camera that we can use on real TV, we will pay you for it.
It would be over $500,000. That would be up to about
$3 million. The confidentiality of our system here is the highest level.
The camera is this buttonhole over here.
Spy cameras.
You can rely on the discretion of
parents. Discover the
shadow watch right.
Why mind who's watching?
Because governments themselves have an interest in keeping records about citizens without permission.
They've kind of made a deal with the devil.
Video.
Blame the tabloids.
The Michael of
the people who are on the Royal Public Gate
custody.
Are you on?
Many of them could remain
unsolved.
Tabloids.
The
notorious paparazzi.
To police and protect their homes and property.
And just going to be.
Without your valuable detective.
Or Michael,
many of them could remain.
One of the men in close-up. Can you recognize this face?
What my privacy? What my own experiences?
Some of us are hopelessly addicted to other people's business. It's the voyeur in us. The media create the personality, and we devour it in microscopic detail.
I watched a disgusting piece of journalism where film was cropped to make somebody look totally ridiculous and to change a story completely about face. And I think that journalists have really surpassed private investigators in relation to improper actions and ethics, matters of ethics. Journalists are looking into and inquiring into people's lives. They inquire into the character, actions or nature of business of any person. And that's basically what we do, just that we're not as public with the information that we get. We have to be a little more discreet with it, whereas journalists tend to publish things, you know, in the public interest. And it is quite often in the public interest that we keep things fairly quiet.
Who cares, right? I mean, do we need to know all this stuff?
You know, I've heard of lots of terrible things about women being stalked in the real world from people they've met in cyberspace, and I know that a woman who I know very well, who set up another organisation to stop harassment online, was stalked to the point of this guy was hiding in the back of her car with a knife.
I've been followed myself. I've had attempts to torch my car on a number of occasions. I've had my car burnt in my driveway, and I know that that person that burnt the car was under investigation by my company and didn't like the results I was gaining for my client, and that person must have followed me to find out where I lived.
You do have to be really careful.
I always believe that if you're doing nothing wrong, you really don't have a lot to fear.
We can drill a tiny hole from an adjoining room, plant a very thin microphone. We really like back-to-back PowerPoints or light switches.
Cameras are hidden in all sorts of things. I wouldn't be prepared to tell you what cameras are being hidden in at the moment because that might give the game away.
There are even contact microphones which pick up vibrations the sound makes on a wall or a window.
A lot of the technology and the advancements in technology today have come out of the spy industry. What we're using now was being used 30 years ago by the Americans and Russians in the Cold War.
Technological advances offer exciting new opportunities for social control.
We can even direct a laser beam at the window. Sound vibrations modulate the beam, which bounces back, and you decode the audio with a special receiver.
30 years ago, they were able to record conversations in the back of a car from a satellite in Russia.
Oh, wow.
Controlling space is always fundamental to power.
So, you know, what are they doing today? It's mind-blowing. Miniaturisation is the big thing.
Oh, I love that. Thought you would. It's very sexy.
The lenses are about a millimetre or even less across. They go down to about 0.3 of a lux. They have incredibly wide angles up to about 108 degrees. They can be built into almost anything today.
The first impression we have in here is of an expanse of space. It's almost as if the world opens up in the space in the room. And the design of the room is such that that's accentuated by this huge bay window, which has the most elaborate theatrical drapes, beautifully done, framing the window. So it's as if the whole world becomes a stage. The world becomes your world. The world is condensed to the dimensions of a kind of proscenium arch almost, because there are a lot of columns and classical features in this room. There's another little detail of it that we should probably mention too, and that is that there's a security camera that's probably recording us.
Personal space, space.
Putting on a face.
Maintain my identity.
We will be playing out a little drama together.
We gotta talk things over.
We listen. We are detectives.
Here goes this same old game again.
We will present faces to each other, protecting our own, protecting the other.
You've been my teacher, my lover, my friend.
Judge our words against the faces we present to each other.
You're saying all the right things, but something makes me doubt.
I can challenge you if I feel your face is insincere.
I ain't gonna put up with no more lies.
We use clues to construct a profile of identity.
I know you can read me like a book. Now there is something I ought to know.
We will try not to violate the conditions.
How long you gonna keep me hanging on?
A lot of buildings have spare phone lines for future use, so we can just couple our target line onto the spare and pick it up down the street or up a pole. Of course, this means we have to masquerade as real telephone engineers. A lot of this stuff means we have to work right under the noses of the people we're bugging. It's amazing what a pair of overalls can do for you. The bigger the company, the less they notice you. We might lease a line, pay for it ourselves, and walk right in the front door and make the connections.
The notion of the mask.
Not too bad this train today, is it?
Sorry?
Not too bad this train today. Normally it's chocking.
I've never felt the need to use a pseudonym or hide behind an avatar or disguise myself.
Sorry.
You have to be a chameleon. You have to be able to take on different guises. One of the greatest assets that an investigator can have is to be, and I know this sounds awful, but to be a convincing liar.
Especially in the mornings, to catch the trains to work in the morning.
I know all my friends do it and they feel totally liberated by, you know, being playing furry little animals and having net sex with people in Sweden.
Oh, that's exactly right.
The individual might act out particular parts in society and people don't know that there is a kind of different person within.
It's like I see the same faces every morning and I have for years, and it's like you just, everyone pretends to don't know each other.
I think they split up their realities
Listen.
This is my reality when I'm with my husband. This is my reality when I'm with my lover online. This is my reality when I'm a man, pretending to be a man, having sex with other men online.
We are detectives.
I've used the expression of coming out, as it were, in disguise. There are some people who feel that the sense of self is rather frail.
That they're completely silenced as human beings.
Here goes this same old game again.
And that all you can get out of them is PR.
In which important feelings, thoughts, etc., are put out masquerading in a kind of grey flack of prose that you think is of no consequence, but it is.
One always goes into meeting somebody else valuing their uniqueness, knowing we will never know them completely, and honouring that, not expecting to. I mean, a quite improper thing to expect somebody to reveal themselves fully.
Oh, listen, excuse me. Do you mind if I use your mobile phone? I'll give you some money.
My batteries are really low. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry about that. No worries.
Once you enter into the corporation, you exist through the corporation. That is your principal existence. Not, you are no longer an individual. You're a member of the corporation. Your place in the structure defines who you are.
I have a lot of problems with people adopting my identity online.
We will try not to violate the conditions.
It's in the contracts, usually, that you will not speak out, think...
Sorry.
...publicly, except on behalf of the corporation.
Excuse me, I lost my wallet. You couldn't lend me a dollar, could you, to get on the bus?
We judge our words against the faces we present to each other.
It's kind of passing off, and if people understand the law of passing off, it's people pretending to be you.
It's not an offence to tell somebody you are somebody else.
Thank you.
People compartmentalise bits of themselves.
Yeah, we check door in there, and then we check behind the door. So we go, she's not here! Is there a cat?
And I think those people who can deal with it get a lot out of it, and the people who can't, it probably sends them nutso.
How do you know we're in here?
These people who live in these kind of two different compartments have a really desperate sense of loneliness.
Come on, Christy, come on out!
We've lost our imaginative faculty as adults, and we don't have that creative sense that in our own minds we can be whoever we wish.
Oh,
here in the kitchen, it's interesting to think about the way that kitchen space has evolved over the last generation. In the immediate post-war period, kitchens were separate rooms. They were spaces where the mother went to escape the family, to be by herself, to concentrate on her work. Now, more recently, the kitchen has opened out, and it's now a kind of space where she can't get away. But that also gives her a position from which to maintain control over the family, to occupy the kitchen and hence the rest of the house, because she can see all of the living spaces from the kitchen. Maternal power has this kind of panoptic quality, perhaps. And so she's able to discipline from that position. She's able to order the children around, if they'll take any notice of her, of course. But we're talking about a dream space where the mother is imagining that her authority is real and that it won't be challenged.
Personal space.
Do you read me? Over.
We gotta learn to communicate.
Because that's the whole part of the project, is it's about trying to just capture
people being natural.
Being natural. Yeah. I want to capture intimacy. That's mm-hmm. why I'm doing it in my private space. Right.
Intimacy
know?
Really involves showing to someone else something that is something inner for yourself. It's a revelation of a secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's got a microphone in it, which is a very sensitive microphone. So
conversation. An exchange of acts.
And you can hook that up with just a standard camera like one of mine.
We have lost the art of communication.
Go back to a video recorder and that will record
You need to be able to perform, and you need to be able to perform under an enormous amount of pressure. It's not like being a performer where you have a written script and everything goes according to plan and you've got a chance to do a double take or a triple take.
And when you do that, you set up a kind of system of exchange. In a way, it invites someone else to tell you something of the same kind.
Wow. Now, do I have to do this, do I have to get, like, permission? Like, is it...
The rules constitute the game. Without them, the game cannot exist.
You need to be able to outsmart these people. I mean, you need to be able to use your cunning to gain their confidence and perhaps get inside them so that you can obtain the information that you need.
Right.
Only certain moves are possible at any time.
You get, like, private eyes and stuff coming in. I've never met a private eye. Are they like in, you know... They're just normal people.
As we've become more specialised, we use psychological techniques and hope that we'll understand a person by all those sorts of investigations.
Is that a criminal offence?
She is limited as to what she can say.
There's a camera in the clock.
And then we've put barriers around that happening because nobody enjoys it.
No, the audio is actually quite important.
You need to be able to respond to a question from the subject that you have under surveillance very, very rapidly, otherwise they'll detect that you really are watching them and you really are trying to find out about their background.
He is limited as to what he can infer.
There's actually a camera and a microphone in there.
No way.
Yeah.
Looks like a ghetto blaster.
It is. It works, like the AM radio works.
As we have got more and more sophisticated means of communication, actually it's become more and more difficult to communicate.
Quantity. Be as informative as necessary.
Hang on, what was that? Assault by camera.
No more and no less than required.
If you have nothing to hide,
it only works on AM.
Why mind who's watching?
Rule 2.
Quality.
Be genuine. Sold
not spurious.
Jim Carrey's bizarre sex life exposed.
Wow. Do not say what you believe is false or that for which you lack evidence.
Where in fact the camera is being made a substitute for a person.
Rule 3.
Threatening.
Information.
I told you not to go in there.
You're going to get away with doing
be
anything
relevant,
without being caught on camera.
Appropriate so to the immediate needs of the transaction.
Is, how can we make our language work again? Because it's through language that we identify reality.
Rule 4.
There's
manner.
There's such a lack of communication today
and orderly. You know? Avoid obscurity.
The most important thing is to maintain camera coverage.
It's a helpless situation.
But you
no one knows
effect.
If it's dangerous.
Well, you don't really need it on, though, do you? Yeah.
So you have to examine really what they're saying and break it down in ways that you can relate to.
Are there any girl private eyes?
Like, a lot of time they're just blowing it out their eyes.
That, isn't it?
I suppose it's good work.
Language is about that.
It's a tricky thing, surveillance, isn't it?
My feeling is that if only we could communicate more clearly,
I'll be back.
Perhaps we wouldn't need a private detective industry at all.
If you're into eavesdropping, scanners are great for tuning into air traffic controllers or the police. You can pick up mobile phones on them, but you never know what you're going to get because the cells keep switching and the call jumps to another frequency. So it's lots of fun, but you can't do much serious stuff. Apparently there's this new machine that's able to follow the calls as it jumps from cell to cell. This is only for analog phones, of course. We haven't cracked the digital ones yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Excuse me, do you mind if I use your phone? Cool, thanks a lot. My life is completely unmanageable. Thank you. Yeah.
I just need a bit of space.
What do you mean?
In most conversations, there will be embedded something which is more to do with the inner life. It might be just a metaphor.
What do you mean, space?
So you pick out that thing in the conversation which is going to lead to something which is to do with the more inner experience and to try to help the person to elaborate that.
We're all trying to cope, but, you know...
So there's a lot of other ways to express an idea or an emotion apart from just text.
We have two kinds of language. There's a language for us dealing with the outer world, and another language which is almost a private language.
A lot of people are carrying on private conversations as well. So you don't often get to see that. And a lot of people have multiple windows open where they're in six chat channels simultaneously. So it's really hard to piece together what you think a person is like from what you're just seeing in that particular window.
Which is not meant to be for communication, which is for representing inner states.
What you notice very much in cyberspace is people have a jargon or they use the emoticons. They emote expressions for you, whether you're happy or you're sad.
You're always going to get a very smart individual that is aware they're under investigation and wants to feed you false information.
I'm looking at him screaming for help.
Who was screaming for help?
Just some girl getting out of a car halfway up.
In whose car?
Some car, I don't know.
All right.
Just in the street. I thought if it's fair dinkum, she couldn't get back to him. She's had a babysitter and a 2-year-old baby, all the rest of that shit. If it's fair dinkum, it's only $30. If it's not, I gave her $30. Let her go.
I think that's always an individual's choice, that you can give to other people what you feel able to, what you feel secure and safe giving. How that other person will receive it, of course, is very different, and you can never be sure that what you said has been understood in the way you meant it.
Hello!
Most people come in a very relaxed, sort of unaggressive manner and try and fit in, or a lot of people will just sit back and see how the group operates before they actually say anything. And you get so many fence sitters. I mean, I've known people who sit in channels for 14 hours a day and they say nothing.
Is anybody there?
So that secrets become the coins of intimacy. They're part of that transaction.
Can you see them?
Now, if you're too afraid to show what is in it, in the sense that it might be devalued, damaged in some way, you could develop a game where you tell false secrets, counterfeit money. And in that way, you bring people into a kind of intimacy which keeps you safe.
Everything I need to know.
Be as informative as necessary. Rule 2, quality.
And I don't expect no lies, no, 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 no.
Be genuine, not spurious. Rule 3, relation.
Now don't you try and change the subject, baby.
Be relevant. Rule 4, manner.
Be straight, look me in the eye.
Be brief and orderly.
Here we're in one of the children's bedrooms, and it's interesting to speculate on the changes that have gone through children's bedrooms in display homes in the last decade. There was once a time when you had a really definite sense of gender difference in the rooms. The boys' room was very definite. It had loud furnishings and action pictures and a bed in the shape of a racing car. And the girls' room was very frilly with pictures of innocence on the walls and pastels and lots of tears and lace and frills and an excess of femininity, in fact. And then the nursery was another place where you had no suggestion of gender, interestingly, because you couldn't discourage, for example, a young couple who were walking through the home dreaming of a girl child to find a blue room, for example, or the reverse. So it has to be kind of neutral. And more recently, all of these marks of gender are disappearing. And now you have an emptiness. And it's almost as if There's a kind of real problem with childhood at the moment, a real anxiety about childhood, especially in the climate of pedophilia, for example. Childhood has lost its innocence. Childhood has lost its kind of specificity. Any evocation of childhood, however obsessive or innocent or whatever, is no longer innocent. And so what we see increasingly when you go into display homes is that those rooms are much more sparsely furnished or even empty.
Personal space.
Patrolling the boundaries.
Just coming out of the cold.
You can also tap the phone line directly, but the connections can cause clicks on the line, so we normally tap at the junction box. You have to send an oscillator tone down the line by clipping onto the wire. Then we use a detector at the junction box to find the target line. You get a really good sound quality, and it means you can apply the tap in an area with less security.
Privacy is the power to selectively reveal oneself to the world.
FAC No Unit, this call's recorded. How can I help you?
Is the call recorded?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're recording. What will happen with that?
Nothing will happen with it. We just send them off to camera.
Oh, the recording's got a camera. You've got a lot of recordings?
We have a lot of calls, yes.
For privacy to be widespread, it must be part of a social contract.
A notion of privacy has to be related also to the public zone.
Of course they'll have boundaries, they'll have things that they don't wish to disclose. Of course I have boundaries.
Access to the AT&T network is not authorized. Call 1-800-450005.
People must come and together deploy these systems for the common good.
What is characteristic of the way humans are made up is that we have this interchange between these two zones. And I'd better stop there. Yeah. Hello. Yes, you'll have to excuse us. I've got somebody with me, and I'm afraid you'll have to make an appointment to see me.
Privacy only extends so far as the cooperation of one's fellows in society.
Everyone's talking about privacy and their rights. I wish people would talk more about their obligations to their fellow person.
In the public domain, we all have our private agendas to promote.
I distinguish between identity and self, self being the kind of inner life, whereas identity is who you are for others.
I think I can split the two. I mean, one's a character and one's sort of really performative.
Now, if you have to be who you are for others in a way which doesn't connect with your inner life, that's stunting for you.
It is, in fact, the only privacy we have.
Privacy groups and civil libertarians.
The rest of the world will invade on all sorts of levels, however much we try and protect ourselves by laws, legislation, whatever.
I've had people hack into my website and steal a lot of stuff.
And install tiny transmitters into computers capable of collecting passwords and data.
I think the public has been duped for a long time by rights and privacy and civil libertarians and privacy committees alike. Sure, there is a place for a privacy committee and civil libertarians, most certainly, but I think that they've overstepped the mark.
There was an incident a few months ago with Suck, you know, suck.com. Oh, it's a website, it's huge in America, and what they do is they pilfer information and private email. They redistributed a lot of my private email, but I thought it was funny.
Information does not just want to be free, it longs to be free.
Wow.
Information is fleeter of foot, has more eyes, knows more, and understands less than rumour.
Where's that music coming from?
Because it's evolution.
Hey, guys, that is really hot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, but would you mind letting us finish?
Yeah, look, you've had your bit, do you mind?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
One, two, one.
Close that door.
Thank you.
The main feature of the so-called master bedroom is the marital bedspread. That's the thing that kind of envelops the room and it covers over the activities of the marital bed. That's one of the features of the display as well, that it involves a kind of desexualization of space. All signs of intimacy are removed. The bed itself is at least queen size. It has a wonderful, ornate bed end. It's got a kind of faux green silk padding. The bedspread itself is made of fabric that is designed to withstand the rigors of endless sticky children walking through the house. The bedspread is this sign of order and neatness and normality. In the real home, of course, it's nothing like this, except for perhaps a moment in our dreams.
In the old days, the strongest community was the neighbourhood. The yard over the back fence, kids playing in the street. It was alive with good, decent people. Now, we're not so sure.
Where those suburbs are set up, which are in a sense only the private zone, only domestic space, you have now put a kind of pressure on individuals to remain closed into that private space without the ordinary human potential for being able to have communication across that boundary in the public zone.
Get out! We gotta learn to communicate.
People are not as concerned about their privacy as they are about the crime rate.
Just come in out of the cold.
It's easier to keep to yourself, keep the world at a safe distance.
Of course they'll have boundaries, they'll have things that they don't wish to disclose. Of course I have boundaries. I hope that they're fairly fluid ones, that the ones that people can step across without me retreating. And if they do step across them, always assuming that they're not doing it for malicious reasons, but they just don't know me very well.
Don't go up there. It's private.
All right, where are you from? Not filming or anything in here? No, not allowed to. No? Can you cut it out now?
Maintains my identity.
All of us, or most of us, when we're quiet, sitting in a chair, have an experience which William James called the stream of consciousness.
You look inside to find that energy.
Thoughts, images, memories, feelings all drift through our mind in a kind of pleasant way.
I've told you not to go in there.
That experience is not something we're born with.
Can I hide in here?
And it doesn't emerge until about 4 or 5.
No, go away! I'm hiding in here!
The child immersed in this kind of play seems to be developing the foundations for this immensely important adult experience, which we're saying is really the kind of core of a self-feeling. And we've been particularly interested in people in whom that feeling has not developed and who seem to have relatively little access to an inner life and who are actually quite good in many cases with dealing with the world. Some of them can be head of big businesses and, you know, running the world in other kinds of ways.
Do you think you could turn that thing off? Do you work
but
out?
In a way, they're very damaged and sort of crippled.
It drives me crazy.
In a way which is not immediately obvious.
He's the boss.
Yes.
And so he's recorded it and you just play it. Poor thing.
And I worry about that. I worry about the direction in which privacy is headed. And I think it's going to have to do a full circle, otherwise it's going to come back and bite us all on the bum.
Very noisy.
can get these programs called Pretty Good Privacy, which encrypt your messages so nobody else can see them. But it's kind of fiddly stuff.
Computer hackers from keeping tabs on mobile phone.
I don't understand the argument, because I think people who are really, really that worried are paranoid. There's a very, very small minority of people in ASIO, or a very small minority of people out there in the real world who could be actually bothered to hack into someone's, you know, private email box and read it. Because you've got to understand the billions and billions of bits of data floating around cyberspace all the time. It's kind of, why would you bother?
Hello, ASIO.
Oh, is that ASIO?
Yeah, that's right.
Is this a safe line to put secret information on, or should we ring another number?
No, this one's all right.
Okay, so it's not bugged, this line?
No.
Is there a number we can leave messages on?
You can leave messages here.
I just need a bit of space.
Space? We all need the space to be. What do you mean, space?
Information expands to fill the available storage space.
Now we've got a video movie, see, all from $1.95 for all the video movies.
Don't you get sick of doing this all day?
Show business. You know, people come back for the show. It was on television last week. One lady was saying about noise pollution.
Oh, yeah?
And everything else, and he was asking me, I said, well, what about the planes? What about the monorail? What about music? What about music in elevators? What about music in supermarkets? What about someone with a jackhammer? How can you put a...
Due to personal information currently protected by privacy legislation because it's in the public sector,
I'm always blown out by the fact that I can just sit in front of the keyboard but communicate with people and still feel totally alone and have my own space. But it's not being in the real world, because it is the real world. It's my life. It's real to me. So how can it not be real?
There's a kind of space of excessive sensuality on one level in the bathroom that you don't see in any of the intimate spaces it's normally associated with. And you see it in the bathroom fittings, the kind of wondrous curves and shiny, smooth surfaces of hand basins and taps and baths and spa baths. And so this is a kind of interesting displacement of the sexual in the dream of home. The sexual is removed from parents' lives, children's lives, and it's displaced into this sanitized space of the bathroom, which cleanses it, makes it somehow safe.
Personal space.
Hold on. We're going in.
You know the answer's right in front of me.
A lot of cheaper bugs are easy to detect. The bug transmits on a certain frequency, so all you need is a radio receiver. Most cheap bugs transmit on the FM band, so all you need to do is go into a room with an FM radio and slowly tune it around, and when you come across the bug, you get a big burst of feedback. The trick is to get a bug which transmits on a more obscure band. These days, detecting devices can pick up anything. You just have to know where to look.
Customers will be playing out a little drama together.
It's brand new today. You won't find it in any
people
other store
are starved
in Australia.
For
it's pre-launched here, and there's 12 beautiful shades. When you put it on,
we've shifted individualism into the area of intimacy.
Wow, yeah, really are so day. Can you have a try of one? Do you like colours like what you're wearing, or something a bit stronger?
Something a bit stronger.
A bit stronger.
And in doing that, we've banalized completely the idea of intimacy, because suddenly the fulfillment of the self becomes what we get instead of something real.
Oh, yeah, let's do that one.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Take off your lipstick for me.
And so suddenly you find that intimacy looks like consumerism.
Okay.
That the fulfillment of the self is something which is constantly being categorized, you know, the perfect orgasm, the perfect muscles, the perfect holiday, the perfect... This is clearly not intimacy, this is false intimacy.
It doesn't really need a lip liner, but I'll use a little bit of the rose tang.
In the shopping mall,
public space is invaded and manipulated by the private.
Magic secret behind the wiggles.
Lisa McCune finally tells my hunky new lover.
Sense of fantasy. Time and space is illusory.
Sex sessions and Pauline Hanson destroyed my
Aussie girl cured of heroin in eight
scoop. ER's hottest ever lover.
We express ourselves through our objects. Millions and millions of consumerism become exciting and safe places to be.
This is what we want. Everyone's looking to sort of resolve those issues about working in a capitalist society where you kind of basically just work, eat, sleep, shit and die. People want more.
Don't go in there.
We need to go within to know who we are and then to come from there in our interaction with society.
I told you not to go in there.
You know, you can find your soulmate online, and a lot of people do that, and a lot of people are totally content with never having to meet this person because they're connecting on a very deep spiritual level.
Yeah. Sleep.
And I don't think you have to meet face to in order to have a fulfilling relationship of that kind.
Excuse me. Come. Oh.
Intimacy is actually tied to the other. It's not tied to walking away from the other.
I can see to some extent what he means, that there are people who become, say, therapy addicts, if you like, who become immersed in their own problems and their own psychic function.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried in case I get snapped up by a camera and shown on late news, you know, like a criminal these days.
You do actually find a space in a meditative experience that does leave behind all those constraints of the outside world. It is a way to sanity that if one can find that space, one steps away from that dreadful sense of pressure and stress that many people live under, and perhaps gives you the experience to recognize that much of that pressure is self-imposed.
You know what's good to give up cigarettes? Meditation.
We can decide about our lives, that we have more choices in our lives than in fact we sometimes allow or let ourselves see, and that it may be worth looking at those and perhaps making some different choices.
Personal space. Personal space.
Look, it's not for children in here right now.
Personal space.
I need this room right now.
Personal space.
I've told you not to go in there.
Personal space.
Sie hörten Personal Space von dem australischen Radiokünstler Russell Stapleton. Vielleicht beginnt der Ort, der ganz alleine uns gehört, ja dort, wo unsere Fähigkeit, Gedanken in Worte zu fassen, aufhört. Die letzten rund 6 Minuten dieses schönen Stückes müssen wir Ihnen leider vorenthalten, da unsere Sendezeit nicht ausreicht. Personal Space in seiner vollen Länge zum Nachhören finden Sie aber wie immer auf unserer Homepage unter folgender Adresse.
Kunstradio.at.
Nächste Woche senden wir wieder live aus dem Studio 2 des Wiener Funkhauses. Auf dem Programm steht ein weiterer Teil unserer Projektreihe Replay Update, in der vorwiegend österreichische Künstler und Künstlerinnen Radiokunstkonzepte aus den 70er Jahren aufgreifen und weiterentwickeln. Kommende Woche werden Sie das Replay Update Nummer 5 von dem Grazer Telekommunikationskunstpionier Seppo Gründler hören. Ich aber verabschiede mich. Moderiert wurde die heutige Sendung von Susanna Niedermeyer, Redaktion Elisabeth Zimmermann.